You are Locked On Bears, your daily Chicago Bears podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Nick Foles and the Chicago Bears offense will have a chance to get back on track this weekend against a New Orleans Saints defense giving up big plays in the secondary. This is Locked On Bears, and I'm your host, Lauren Cox. I'm an analyst for Pro Football Focus, and I'm here to bring you your daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. Locked On Bears is brought to you by Pepsi. It is a strange football season we're watching so far, but Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi, made for football watching. On today's show, we are doing Crossover Thursday here on the Locked On Podcast Network, and we'll be joined by Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints to break down all of the key questions entering Sunday's matchup. We'll talk about the success Drew Brees' offense has had even without Michael Thomas in the lineup. We'll look at how the Saints have been able to stop the run very well while giving up some bigger plays in the passing game and finding themselves in some shootouts recently. It's certainly no easy matchup for the Bears, so I want to get as much as we can from Ross Jackson here on Crossover Thursday. So, Ross, I can't believe it's week 8 already. It feels like the season's flying by, but also feels like it's been kind of a slow trudge to get here.
Yeah, it's a really interesting sort of dichotomy of feeling, right? It's where it's like, oh, we're already at week 8, but then also at the same time, like the weeks interior-wise feel so incredibly long for some reason.
Yeah, it's been kind of up and down, I think, for both of these teams. They both had their roller coaster thus far, but especially I think the Bears have seen a lot of unpredictability from week to week, and I'm curious to see your thoughts as this Saints team comes to town. They had some of those struggles early on, but it seems like Drew Brees and company over the last few weeks with a bye week in there seem to have kind of figured it out, at least offensively. I know their defense has still given up a lot of points the last few weeks, but I guess where's your confidence level in the stability of the Saints at this point after the win over the Panthers?
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where you can be very confident about the team in one area, but not very confident about them in another. And that's certainly the issue right now with the New Orleans Saints, where the offense I'm very confident in because they've also found really interesting ways to continue to be effective even without their star wide receiver in Michael Thomas, who everybody thought was going to be the number one option for this team coming into this year. And he's been out for five games now, and the Saints have split those games 3-2. And you also look at the fact that the Saints, you know, worked last week without Emmanuel Sanders, and they got out there with a couple of guys in Tre'Quan Smith and Marquez Callaway, who if you don't live, you know, if you live outside of New Orleans, you have no idea who those players are for the most part. And they've been able to find a way to make this offense work without completely limiting themselves to just the run game, but still being able to produce on the run game as well. And so we've seen a newfound confidence in the offense, but over on the defensive side, just a lot of struggles, particularly in the secondary and even the place where they're the strongest right now, which is the defensive line. They've excelled really well in the run game, but haven't been so great in closing out the passing game in terms of pass rush.
Yeah, in terms of this offense, I want to start there without Michael Thomas. I know it's a little bit up in the air at this point as to whether or not he'll be able to return this week. I think the last thing we had heard from Adam Schefter is that he's again in jeopardy of missing week 8. Mm-hmm. What is this? I mean, obviously, we all know that this offense kind of goes through Alvin Kamara at this point, but like you said, they've been able to do more than just the Alvin Kamara offense. I mean, has it been Tre'Quan Smith and Manny Sanders just kind of doing enough, or have they done specific things? I mean, anything different with Brees? How have they made this offense work?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's all in concert with Brees, you know, and it's been Coach Payton. I mean, Coach Payton's schemes and the way that he has schemed wide receivers open over these last 3 weeks in particular, starting at the Detroit game, has been really, really impressive to watch, to where they're overloading different sides of the field and creating conflict defenders at every level, first, second, and third, at the intermediate and short level. They're compounding receivers, but creating enough spacing in their usage and in their route combinations, to where if one receiver, if one defender makes the wrong choice, Drew Brees knows exactly where to go. So it's a lot of key defender watching, right? If that defender collapses on this route, then I go to that route. But if they play back for that route, then I go to this route. And so they do a really good job at creating all of that. And it helps when you have guys that can run routes out of the backfield so that you can create some of those conflict defenders at the line of scrimmage, so that you're really just looking to move ahead, maybe on an out route and a flat in the same, on the same side of the field, on the field side. And then you're able to hit the flat or the, you're able to hit the flat or you're able to throw up to the out route and then gain a couple of yards that way. And it's helpful when you have a guy like Alvin Kamara, of course, to where you can hit him 3-4 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he can turn that into anywhere between a 2 to a 52-yard gain if you need him to do that. And so certainly the comfort level has been there because of Alvin Kamara. But one of the reasons why they've been able to continue to produce in the passing game is because of their production in the run game, where they're able to force a loaded box and then be able to create those conflict defenders out on the perimeter.
Yeah, it seems like with Brees, they've done a great job of keeping him clean in the pocket for the most part. How much of that do you attribute to the Saints offensive line playing well versus Brees getting rid of the ball quickly and the Saints offense just trying to kind of neutralize the pass rush schematically?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the getting the ball out of his hands quickly has been a huge benefit for the Saints, but we do have to give some credit to the Saints offensive line as well. You have four different players within their offensive line who hit the top 10 in ESPN's pass block win rate metric. With Teron Armstead, he's in the top 10 amongst tackles. Andres Pete and Nick Easton are both in the top 10 amongst guards. And then you have Eric McCoy, their starting center, who's been phenomenal. And probably, even though they have Ryan Ramczyk at the right tackle position, Eric McCoy has probably been their best offensive lineman so far this season. It's like he is just now realizing that he got drafted 48th overall when he deserved to be a first rounder, and he's super pissed about it. And so it's really interesting, like, watching him play. He's been really, really great to watch. And I think we do have to attribute some credit over to the offensive line, but also, again, the scheme and getting the ball out quickly certainly has helped as well.
Yeah, that sounds like the kind of thing the Bears offense is going to want to try and emulate against a Saints defense this week that has been vulnerable as of late. We'll explore where Matt Nagy might find some success and where the Bears could still struggle next on Locked On Bears. We've seen the Saints find success even without one of their most important parts in Michael Thomas. And nobody knows more about important parts than our friends at rockauto.com. They've got everything you could possibly need for your vehicle. Things like engine control modules and tail lamps, brake parts, motor oil, even new carpet. So whether you're fixing up a classic car in the garage or just need to tune up your daily commuter, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Unlike some of the chain stores, RockAuto.com has the same prices for both professionals and do-it-yourselfers. So don't spend up to twice as much for the same parts. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us?" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Jumping back into this crossover Thursday edition of the podcast here with Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints. So, Ross, maybe we should have hit the defense earlier because it's such a big concern for the Bears offense against them right now. But you mentioned their struggles. I noticed the one area they haven't seemed to struggle defensively is stopping the run, which has been the Bears' biggest weakness. Does that point to then the Saints' issues being more, I guess, in the back seven versus the front seven? Or how do you sort of diagnose that dichotomy of stopping the run pretty well but not being able to maybe get that pressure on the quarterback and make some of those plays in the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, the secondary, just to be completely frank, the secondary play has been bad. I mean, everything down to eye discipline, to communication, to sharing players from zone responsibilities, all of that has just not been good. And even individual coverages, I mean, Marshon Lattimore has been caught sort of peeking in different areas. Malcolm Jenkins has been caught in conflict every now and then. When it comes to Marcus Williams, he's had a lot of trouble in terms of diagnosing and attacking, and he has a bad habit of really attacking through defenders as opposed to going after the ball. So secondary play has been down altogether for the Saints defense. But when it comes to the run game for the Saints, they have been able to be effective against it, even when teams feel like they do have to lean on it. And so, you know, they allowed only 2.6 yards per carry against the Carolina Panthers. We, of course, remember last year where the Saints and the Bears met, to where the Bears only ran the ball 7 times that entire game, twice in the second half. Obviously, they'll look to create something, not that same thing again, but create that one dimensionality again with every team that they match up against. And the Bears should be no exception, but the Bears probably have a better situation in front of them because the secondary was playing much better in 2019 than it has so far here in 2020.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like it's an advantage to make the opposing offense one-dimensional, but from the Saints' standpoint, I mean, given some of their struggles to stop the pass, is it?
Right. That's the thing that's really conflicting about the entire idea is that, you know, it's going to be, you know, a benefit to do that. But when you're giving up, you know, chunk plays, the Saints have given up 6 plays of over 40 yards in the passing game so far this season. That's the second most in the NFL. And I know the Bears just had their first on Monday Night Football, but now the floodgates could potentially open for the Bears offense because of how poor the Saints secondary has been. The other thing that you have to consider too, or that we have to work into this, is that it really comes down to how much the Saints can control the ball over on the offensive side, because the Saints do want to dominate time of possession, but how much does that matter if you're giving up 3, 4, 5 play scoring drives? So it's a tough sort of situation to find yourself in for the New Orleans Saints, because yeah, you want to create, you want to make another team one dimensional, but at the same time, you kind of stink against that dimension. So how much is that really benefiting from you? And that's a big question that we're asking about the Saints. And you know, the only thing we can do is sit back, watch, and see how they adjust at this point.
Yeah, it kind of feels like we're seeing some strength versus strength and some weakness versus weakness with these two teams. And I'm looking forward to kind of seeing how this matchup is going to play out and answering all your Bears questions about this team.
In the first place that I want to start is with the quarterback situation. Nick Foles takes over for Mitch Trubisky, comes in the fourth quarter against the Atlanta Falcons and throws 3 touchdowns in the fourth quarter. I loved to see it, obviously, because it happened against the Atlanta Falcons. But since then, in the next 4 games, he's only thrown 3 touchdowns since then. So when you look at the way that this offense has sort of operated under Nick Foles, what's the biggest concern for you, and where could you see some improvements coming into this week that Saints fans should be aware of?
Yeah, the offense is in panic mode right now after the loss to the Rams last week, which is weird because, like, if you listen to Chicago Sports Talk Radio and read Bears fans on social media, you're going to see a lot of people who want to fire the general manager, fire their head coach, blow up the team. And currently they're in a playoff spot with a 5-2 record. I mean, it's a precarious situation and perhaps a privileged situation. But right now, I mean, you are seeing this Bears offense just completely struggle to consistently move the ball. They cannot run to save their lives. It's been an ongoing issue throughout the Matt Nagy era. And their offensive line is collapsing, not only from the healthy players that they do have not playing up to the standard that they have earlier in their career, but they're on their backup left guard. Their center got banged up last week against the Rams. We're not sure if he's going to be able to go. So they're planning to start an undrafted rookie free agent at center and a former undrafted rookie free agent at left guard, two guys with very little NFL experience before this season. So that makes everyone else's job more difficult. They've had some, at times, issues catching the ball here and there with their receivers. And then Nick Foles is not a perfect quarterback, but no one was expecting him to be a perfect quarterback. I still think he provides a significant upgrade over Mitch Trubisky in terms of the understanding of the offense and being able to operate the huddle, make changes at the line of scrimmage. But now Matt Nagy's play calling has been particularly in the microscope. Even though receivers are getting open downfield, it doesn't feel like he's necessarily adapting his system to an offense with a poor offensive line. Like, it's struggling to, like, everything would work if everybody was executing at 100%, but they haven't been able to get everybody to execute 100%, and you haven't seen the offense kind of adjust to their own shortcomings.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. And I'm glad that you brought up the offensive line there, because that was going to be one of my next questions for you, is that, you know, I know that they're dealing with some injuries there. They're looking at starting some pretty inexperienced guys there. Is there any plan, or have you heard any talk about Matt Nagy's play calling and blocking scheme in particular, to where maybe he's not giving enough help to some of these guys on the interior. He's not giving enough help to the guys on the edge. Is there any plan for that to adjust coming into this game against the Saints?
I think for the most part, the offensive line issues have been more pronounced in the running game than the passing game. And Aaron Donald last week gave them a lot of problems, which Aaron Donald gives everybody problems, but especially when you have an interior offensive line of Rashad Coward, who is a converted defensive lineman. He played defensive line in college, moved to offensive line when he came to the Bears a couple years ago. Your starting center is a second-year undrafted rookie, Sam Mustipher, who made his first NFL snaps last week. And then the former Seahawks first-round pick, Jermaine Ifedi, is your starting right guard. I mean, Aaron Donald ate their lunch all day. There's just that's just going to happen. But for the most part, Foles has had close enough time to throw. I mean, it needs to be better, but has been functional in that regard. It's more so the running game where they just can't get any push from anybody up front consistently. Mm-hmm. Last week, to try and mitigate the Rams' pass rush a little bit, we saw David Montgomery play a career-high number of pass-blocking snaps. They kept him in quite a bit more to just try and help. Didn't make a huge difference, but they're trying to go a little bit heavier on the tight ends. We saw some more rollouts and some more play action just to try and do something, but even on the rollouts, Aaron Donald just runs in between the left guard and center untouched with a free run to the quarterback. There's not much you can scheme in that regard. So they are trying to, you know, Matt Nagy is trying to help his offensive line in different ways, but last week for especially, it didn't work. But I think they're hoping that the Saints, not having an Aaron Donald type player and having some inconsistency rushing the passer, that hopefully they think things can just kind of calm down a little bit more this week and they can run a little bit more of what their offense is supposed to look like. They might be able to have a little more success against New Orleans given some of their struggles in the passing game, but we'll explore this matchup a little bit more closely before turning our attention to the Bears defense next on Locked On Bears. This football season is different in so many ways, from the way teams prepare, to all the mask wearing, to no fans in the stands, to even how we get to watch the games at home. But Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day, no matter how you watch this season. As the weather gets a little colder, I really don't mind being able to watch from the comfort of my couch, and I still get that same game day experience with a glass of ice-cold Pepsi. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers. These passionate fans are the real generational talent that Pepsi fuels. Because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Pepsi. Made for football watching.
When I look at Nick Foles' numbers, I mean, it's no surprise that every quarterback in the NFL wants to get rid of the pass within less than 2.5 seconds. So they want to get the ball out quickly, and Nick Foles certainly performs much better when that's the case. But I've noticed that when he throws passes beyond that mark, his completion percentage goes down, his interceptions go up. What is it about? Does he struggle a little bit going deep into progressions and then having to make decisions deeper into his reads?
I don't know that it's a decision making. So every game, Nick Foles is going to give you two or three throws where he's just chucking it up there and praying. You know, I mean, you can, if you want to give him the benefit of the doubt, you're saying he's giving his wide receiver a chance and he's trusting his wide receiver to make a play. But those have led to interceptions. I mean, a couple of those decisions where it's like, what are you doing? I mean, and that certainly brings down the later play completion percentage. But I think that stat is maybe even just more how much the quick plays boost everything else. Like, I think the longer plays are more reflective of Nick Foles as a quarterback, because there's some times when he'll make a great, you know, full field progression and find the open receiver late in the play, and you know that's what the Bears signed up for. But for the most part, he is always looking to throw that to the running back out of the backfield. He loves to check down, even when the pressure is not quite there yet, but he starts to feel a little bit of it. There were some ghosts last week against the Rams for sure, where he's just going to that check down because it's like, keep the offense going. If they can, you know, take a first and 10 and make it a second and 7 and then like a third and 3, you know, they'll take those short chunks in lieu of having a running game. So like, it's been, I don't want to say even good enough, but I mean, it it sort of works, but clearly it hasn't worked enough to put enough points on the board or enough yards. And then if they get caught in poor down and distance situations from a penalty or a sack, their drives are pretty much killed.
Okay, that helps, because I'm looking at the Saints who have struggled so far because they give up separation so quickly to wide receivers, particularly anybody that's running sort of those in-breaking routes, which all of the receivers in Chicago do well. And there's another guy that obviously is a big concern for Saints fans. And you know, Allen Robinson, certainly one of them. He's in concussion protocol. But one of the other guys that I think a lot of Saints fans are going to be familiar with, being that he spent his collegiate years at Tulane, is going to be Darnell Mooney, who has been pretty exciting as a rookie for them, and even as a late, you know, a later round get in terms of your usual comparison for highly drafted wide receivers. What's sort of the main usage for him? Is he being used as a field stretcher for the most part, or is he somebody that's getting some of that love and attention kind of in the short and intermediate area where the Saints might struggle against them?
So he's designed to be the field stretcher, but with Nick Foles getting rid of the ball so quickly, it hasn't happened as much as you'd like. But particularly last week against the Rams, he torched Jalen Ramsey three times.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are two of them. You know, one of them he wasn't really thrown at, but there were two others where, I mean, he blew by him on a double move downfield, and Nick Foles couldn't hit him either time. And it's that kind of thing where it's like, if that becomes a 95-yard touchdown instead of an incomplete pass, we have a very different narrative about this Bears offense on Monday night. But like, so in that sense, the offense is working. It's just not executing that way. But they want to get that deep passing game going. They've been trying to stretch the field with him vertically, but they haven't had a lot of the time for the quarterback to get rid of the ball that, you know, that late into a play. And so he has worked into a little bit more of the intermediate area, but for the most part, it's underneath crossing routes and, you know, checkdowns there, and then over the top vertical game. Not as much the deep ins and deep outs, but you'll see some of that here and there.
Let me jump over to the defensive side. What has been the Bears have fared very well pass rushing as well as in the run game from what the numbers show, but 16th in the NFL in the run game. What's been the struggle in the run game so far for the Bears defense?
Everyone starts with the loss of Eddie Goldman, which is it's hard to overlook that in any way. But I do think the defensive line has been playing fine. I mean, they haven't been great, but they've been playing fine. And having Eddie Goldman would be a big difference in them, and that could be the difference between them playing fine and them playing great. But we've seen a lot of the season, the linebackers and safeties kind of stepping up to fill their gaps, struggling to hit the right gaps and make the right decisions. We've seen, you know, Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan sometimes will be inclined to overrun their gap a little bit and get burned by a nice cutback, or sometimes they'll try and run around blocks rather than taking them on and fighting through them, and they'll give up an extra 3, 4, 5 yards just by having intentionally sort of run backwards and just giving up that space to try and get to the ball carrier. In the last 2 weeks, or last two games in particular with the Panthers and the Rams, for some reason the Bears' edge rushers have just lost the ability to contain. And I don't know what happened. Even Khalil Mack was like out of position, and he's been phenomenal in run defense his whole career. But like Mike Davis and the Panthers were able to get and bounce their longest runs, went outside. And then the Rams with Darnell Henderson and their wide receiver sweeps and jet sweeps and end-arounds, they got to the edge for runs of 10-plus a handful of times throughout the game. The Bears were just lost at trying to keep those runs funneled back inside. So it's been just like fundamentals that seem to be kind of failing this group up front, despite a decent amount of talent and guys individually fairly playing well. It's just someone is always there to make the right mistake at the wrong time.
I definitely understand that one. last question for you. I want to go back to the secondary, just take a look at the coverages. I'm showing that the Bears spend a good amount of time both splitting man and zone coverage, particularly those single high safety looks and closing the middle of the field and in cover three. The focus for this team so far seems to be not giving up big plays. How successful have they been with that, and how successful has the secondary been so far this year?
Yeah, they haven't been a lot of explosive plays against this Bears defense. They're going to show a lot of two deep safety looks and then rotate one safety down, but you're never quite sure exactly where it's going to go. And once they start struggling to stop the run, then they'll bring a safety into the box more full time, and they're not going to be able to disguise as much. But they like to show you a split safety look as much as possible, so you're not as clear on what the coverage is going to be post snap. But for the most part, you know, Eddie Jackson has been solid on the back end. He sort of hyperextended his leg last week, but it sounds like he's going to be okay and ready to go this week. Tashawn Gibson's been playing pretty well, but they've both missed a few more tackles than you'd like to see. And then Kyle Fuller and Jalen Johnson have been stellar at the cornerback spots. I mean, just two guys that are shutting down receivers pretty well. Not anything big concerning there. A lot of the damage for this Bears defense has been done over the middle of the field, out of the slot against Buster Skrien or against Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith in coverage, running backs out of the backfield, any kind of area where you can hit them there. That seems to be where, from a passing game standpoint, I'm most concerned, which I think Drew Brees is going to have some fun trying to get, you know, getting rid of the ball quickly and finding a lot of that space underneath to eat up those chunk yards. I mean, where the Bears defense has been the best is in the red zone. I mean, that's been their MO all season. They'll let you get pretty far down into the 20s, but once you get down there, it's tough to score.
It's funny, there's so many similarities between these teams, but then there are also so many things that are just the exact opposite. I mean, the Saints have a fantastic third down offense, terrible third down defense, and then of course the Bears have a great third down defense. But yeah, I mean, leaving the middle of the field as the space that the Saints may be able to attack may be a big key so far in this game. So I think this is going to be a very fun one to watch. I'm looking forward to this one. It's a late afternoon game, so you know, we might get a little bit of national attention here again for both of these teams that are sitting with winning records, 5-2 for the Bears, 4-2 for the Saints. And I can't wait to see this one, and probably to be able to revisit it at some point with you. If nothing else, I'm sure we'll interact all throughout the game, man. It's gonna be a lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, appreciate you doing this crossover, Ross. It's always a good time. And who knows, maybe we'll get to do one in January if the Bears can figure their stuff out.
Hey, fingers crossed that the Saints make the playoffs. I appreciate that.
Thanks again to Ross Jackson from Locked On Saints for joining us on the podcast today. If you enjoyed our conversation, make sure that you subscribe to Locked On Bears to keep up with all of our daily, in-depth Chicago Bears news and analysis. On tomorrow's podcast, we'll check in on the concerning early returns from the Bears injury report and try and get a sense of where Khalil Mack, Allen Robinson, and some other key starters all stand in a short week heading into Sunday. We'll also try and put together a game plan for how this Bears offense can get back on track, how the defense can return to its form, and how the Bears can get another win on Sunday. So you're going to want to tune in for that. I appreciate everybody who tunes in as much as you can. We do this 5 days a week to bring you that Bears talk every single opportunity we can. I don't think anybody else is giving you not only this level of analysis, but at this frequency as well. We are here for you. I appreciate all of you who are here for us. And together, we make it so much easier to bear down.